I'd like for all of you to rise as we read God's Word. We're going to be reading in Galatians, first chapter, starting with the 11th verse. I'm going to be reading a couple verses here. It says, "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've blessed us with once again. Lord, it's just it's so good to sit back and see your Holy Spirit just working in the lives of many people. Lord, I accept the responsibility here this morning of rightly dividing your word. Father, I pray, God, that you would just continue to lead us and guide us and direct us, that we would always lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to start off this morning. How many of you all are basketball fans? Let me hear you if you're a basketball fan. We got some hands. We've got a lot of basketball fans in here this morning. Well, and I hope this doesn't offend you, but I'm a true blue fan, okay? I'm a true blue Josh Gernison, I'm sorry, but I am a true blue fan. And this year was kind of unique. We were supposed to go undefeated. We were supposed to be this best team that you'd ever seen come through college basketball because we had all the best players, right? So we were supposed to be the best team. Well, about midway through season, I was done with this team. Done. I wrote them off. I was like, I'm sick of watching them. I wouldn't even watch them anymore. I'd check at Sports Center just to see what the score was at the end. And when they'd lose, I'd say, man, I told you. But then there come a time when it was time for the tournament, and you know Coach Cal said something that sticks with me, and it's going to kind of go with the message this morning. It's the word tweak. Do you guys remember the news conference where he sat down? He said we tweak some things. You know, you're like, you tweak some things. What'd you do? And basically all he'd done in his tweak was he just allowed one of the Harrison twins, just to be himself and just to start playing. So what we want you to remember this morning is this key phrase, tweak, because it's going to be very, very, very important by the end of this message. And what we want you to know is, and I want it to be clear here this morning, is you can't tweak the gospel. You can't tweak it. There's no way to tweak the gospel here this morning. You can't make it fit where it needs to fit. But there is something here this morning, and I hope that we all realize this, that the true gospel tweaks you. Can you all agree with that? The true gospel will tweak you here this morning. If you'll listen and have an open mind and an open heart, the true gospel will tweak you this morning. So a lot of times we think that, well, if we make a few tweaks here and there and we do this and we do that and change this and change that, then everything's going to be A-okay. But what we've got to realize is we've got to allow God, through the gospel, to tweak us. So you remember that this morning. Here in Galatians, you know, Paul is standing up and defending his ministry is what he was doing. He was standing up defending his ministry and what he knew that God had called him to do. What's amazing is you know, Paul just loved Jesus. He loved everything about Jesus. And he was just going to do what Jesus wanted him to do. We all know where Paul used to be, right? We all understand the situation and where Paul was. He killed people like us, okay? He took them to jail. He had us done away with. But then there was something, I don't think Paul would probably use the word tweak. I don't know if tweak would have been around here. Maybe a tweet that they hear, a bird or something, but a tweak they probably didn't use. But Paul, what he don't realize is there was some tweaks going on through the Holy Spirit and through the gospel that allowed Paul to be a wonderful, wonderful a man of God to preach the true gospel. And I read over Paul's life and from his examples that he had set forth, it is amazing what God has done through him. He said, and here's what Paul said. He says, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. You know, Paul realized something here, and he was trying to express. He realized that if the true gospel, if the gospel was man-made, then there'd be a set of requirements. Now, can you guys agree with that? If it's man-made, there's going to be some kind of stipulation, some kind of requirements on there. Kind of like if you go get your license, there you have to be a certain age, correct? There's so long, you get your permit, then you drive around and practice. So there would have been some sort of requirements. But Paul understood that what he was standing and saying and preaching wasn't anything that he had done at all. It was the words that he was saying to individuals. It wasn't really him, but he was stepping back and allowing God through the Holy Spirit to teach him so he could teach others. Through the Holy Spirit, he was allowing this to take place. And these requirements, a lot of times, sometimes will get us so focused on this set of requirements or that set of requirements. But when God gets on the scene and he begins to bless, and the true gospel, and we can step back, step ourselves out of the way, and the true gospel begins to work, he begins to deal with people's lives and direct them on a certain path. You know, just because you tweak your life doesn't earn you salvation. Just because you make a few adjustments, maybe say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf Monday morning. I'll tell you what, I've turned over a lot of new leaves on a lot of Monday mornings throughout my life. But it didn't earn me salvation. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God. And it says it's not the results of your work. Because if it was a result of your work, then you would boast about it. But it's not a result of your work. It is a gift of God. So just because this morning you may make some tweaks, you may change your mind about a few things, that doesn't earn you a relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't earn you a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about requirements. It's all about results. It's not about requirements. It's not how I start out in the race, but it's how I finish the race. It's not, you know, when a lot of times that I've been a part of things that you start off and they say, just sprint just as hard as you can go, and you're running a mile. It's not going to work out because you have to start out at a pace where you're looking for the end in sight. You have to start out at a place in your life and what God wants you to do so there's an end in sight. It's not about requirements, but it's about results. I'm glad that through the true gospel going out and God coming and into my ears, into my mind, and down into my heart, the end result was salvation because I heeded and listened to his call. Oftentimes I try to explain it like this. How do you know God is around? How do you know God is leading you and directing you? Here's a simple analogy that one preacher shared with me one time. He said, you ever stood underneath a ceiling fan? I was like, well, yeah, I got every room, I've got one in my house. He said, well, how would you know that ceiling fan was on if you didn't look up? Because I'd feel some air off of it. When the Holy Spirit begins to work, it's not that I have to see it with my eyes, but down in my heart, God begins to have something to start spinning and yearning that I'm thinking, God, that's you. God, that's you. Sometimes we worry about the requirements more than we worry about the results. How many of you this morning, how many of you can proclaim or you want to proclaim that once you was lost and you couldn't see? Once that you were in a situation where there was no peace, but God came on the scene and began to speak to your heart, and it began to trouble you and convict you and draw you down, whether it be to an altar of prayer, where it be in your car or at your bed, or whether you're at work somewhere, or whether you've been in any church. But how many of you can proclaim this morning that Jesus is Lord, and He's Lord of my life, and I'm going to let Him lead my life in the directions that He wants to? A lot of times when I've allowed God to just have His way in my life, when I've allowed God to just say, God, You're the center of my life, there's a lot of things that I did not like that happened to me. But eventually, when I kept my focus and my eyes on Jesus, Paul was saying, it's not me. It's not me, and it's not about me. But it's about the true gospel, having a relationship, and then something down inside of me saying, I want to share it with you and you and you and you and you and you. When I got saved, I didn't tuck back under a cave somewhere, and I didn't go hide the candle under a bushel anywhere, but I wanted to share Jesus with everybody. I did things that I couldn't do before. Have you ever noticed when God comes on the scene, you do things that you're thinking, there's no way that I would ever been able to do that without Jesus Christ and the true gospel. Without Him, we would not have been able to do everything. Have you been set free this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you focused on the true gospel? Spread the true gospel and live out your faith. Spread the true gospel and live out your faith. You know, high school seniors, college seniors, you know, you guys are getting ready to start on a journey that many of us have already went through, but that you're so excited about. You're going to start a time in your life where things are, you've never walked that path before, and you're anticipating, and you're encouraged, and you're thinking, you're dreaming big, and you're like, this is what I want to be. When I grow up, I want to be this, and I'm going to do this, and you've got your goals set and what you want to do. But something that Paul in the scripture here of Galatians, what he was really wanting people to understand, is the goal is to point someone to Jesus. When it comes down to it, at the end of my life, it's not about the awards that I've won or what I've accomplished in this life, but what have I done for Jesus? How many people have I spoke to and shared my testimony and shared about what Jesus has done for me in my life? You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. See, out here on this journey, you're going to get lost sometimes. Things are going to happen that's going to get you totally off key. You're going to be confused. You're going to step back and think, man, I didn't sign up for this. But always remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. May we always be pointing people to the one who is greater than us. May we always be pointing people to Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now, we have got it good. We are blessed people. We are blessed individuals. Even with the trials and the troubles and the tribulations that you have to go through, we are a blessed congregation, a blessed community, a blessed state, and a blessed country, and a blessed world, to have this man named Jesus to give His life for you and I, that we would have this very opportunity this morning to make a few tweaks. Galatians 1:13-14, it says, for you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God behind measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. And this is Paul himself writing this about his life. Church, husbands, wives, graduates, lost, saved. You know, it's good. Being zealous and having ambition is a very good quality to have. Being zealous about something, being excited about something, or being ambitious to be a go-getter, I'm going to go out there and get that. That's a good quality to have. You know, it's excellent to be zealous, but when you're zealous over worldly things, the end is sadness, loneliness, and destruction. When I'm more zealous about my house or what type of vehicle that I have or what type of clothes that I put on or how many people that I know that are on my Facebook page and how many people likes a post or how many people, I've got friends, I've probably got 700 or 800 friends on Facebook and 350 of them I've never spoke to before in my life. It's not about, and if you're ambitious and zealous about those types of worldly things, Paul was expressing here that it's going to end up in destruction and sadness and loneliness and wandering. Paul loved his heritage. He loved where he was at. He was moving on up. He was moving on up the ladder exactly where he was at. He was right on top in the situations that he was in. He was where he wanted to be at this time before God tweaked him. He was up on top. You know, there's one time, you guys know what Atari is. Does anybody know what Atari is? Let me see. Raise your hand if you know what Atari is. Man, back in the day, in the 80s, man, Atari, whoo, we was all at it. And I used to have an Atari, and I loved it now. And I was zealous and ambitious to be the number one in Frogger. Right here? Don't challenge me. I'd sit at the house and have that, just had one button back then, which was great. Man, I could sit there, boom, boom, and I was right there. Frogger was it. I'd go to the arcades, and I wanted my name right at the top, number one. Big Dog Duggins, number one on the list of Frogger. Yeah. I was ambitious about that, zealous about that. When I take my last breath, you think God's going to look at me and say, good job on that Frogger game? I don't think so. I don't think so. So you see where that zealous behavior and concentrating and being ambitious on worldly things, you see where it actually gets you. You might get recognized. Paul was recognized amongst his countrymen. He was recognized amongst all the people that were around there. But at the end of the day, that's not what it was about. At the end of the day, Paul is trying to express here, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Paul's saying, it's not about my tradition or my worldly gain. Paul was proud of his heritage. But we all understand where it led Paul, correct? Do you guys remember the account of on the road to Damascus where Paul, he was even going to the point of getting ready to get more Christians and persecute them? And we all know that his zealous behavior, where it ultimately led him. It ultimately led him hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, hearing the gospel and understanding and being blinded. When here was a man that could see and do everything and was high up on the ladder and his social, his status on Facebook, he probably had every friend and every like that he possibly could have. He was right there. He was Mega Paul. But ultimately it led him down to a road to Damascus where all of a sudden he loses his sight. He has nothing. He don't know how he's going to even get home. He had to have his friends to even help him to get where he needed to be. And that's what worldly, zealous and worldly behavior and ambitious about the world will do for you. It'll lead you to a road where Jesus is at and ultimately have you broken down where you have to actually answer the call of Jesus. Paul was on his road to Damascus. Boom, stricken by blindness. He was scared. You know, Paul, the thing that really happened here that was so amazing, he eventually realized, he was realizing that the gospel was tweaking him. Because Paul, after that, and we know his account and what he's done in the Bible, after he was not saved, he got saved in relationship with Jesus, he preached Jesus Christ, he went out, he shared it to many, 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 many people, and they came to Jesus Christ, and he was all worried about, at one time, worried about where he was at on his ancestral traditions, and then he was ended up, and now he was doing God's work and blessing people, and people were coming to Jesus. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what we've accomplished and what we've done. But it's about what have we done for Jesus today? How are we living our life today? How are we standing up to when Satan begins to creep in and begins to get us off track? How are we being able to stand up and saying, I'm a child of the King. I've been saved and I've been set free. I'm a born-again Christian and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and he died, and on the third and appointed day he was resurrected, and praise be to God that one day after a while he's coming back to take me home. Paul realized that. He'd been tweaked, not by himself, but by the gospel. If your ambition or zeal is to move up in life, it's all about you. But if your ambition and zeal should be about sharing the true gospel, and ultimately that true gospel is sharing Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, 22 and 24 says, I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God because of me. Parents, Christians, seniors, church, Paul nails it right here. He nails this right to a T in this scripture. Paul was saying, you don't have to be perfect, because I wasn't perfect at all. These people before seen me as a man that was going out and attacking them right in front of their face at their homes, dragging them to a place and having them killed, to a man that is sharing Jesus Christ with them, and they looking and saying, if this man can get Jesus in his life, if this man, Paul, can have a change and a transformation in his life, then I'm going to glorify God, because I know that God has done something that's real and that is alive. The evidence was right there in front of them. They were glorifying God because of the tweak of the Holy Gospel that had happened to Paul. What is your purpose? Did God set you apart to build his kingdom? Is your purpose just to have a good life, or is it to have a God life? Is your purpose just to be a good person, to make a lot of friends, or to tell them about Jesus and offend them because of sharing Jesus Christ? When the gospel was preached, and I was sitting in a congregation that day at a youth rally, the gospel didn't tell me everything good that I wanted to hear about myself. But it told me the truth. And the truth was, I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. Because if I didn't get saved, I was ultimately going to end up in a place called hell that I just didn't want to go to. And by the grace of God, we are what we are by that. What is your purpose? Have you found your purpose? Are you sharing the true gospel? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Got something over here. To most people, looks like a trash can, right? I get everybody that come in, hopefully you got an index card, and you're probably asking what in the world was that index card for when I was walking in, but hopefully by the end of the message, you'll be able to understand what God wants you to do. And there's something that takes place in our youth every Sunday night. We come in and we just praise God. And you guys would be amazed, you that have sent your youth on Sunday night, you would be amazed at the growth spiritually of these individuals on following and listening to God. When I first started with the surge in January, I stood up here kind of like you. We kind of had the seats and the rows and everything done just like this, and it was great. And man, people, we had a few that were moving, and God was blessing. But then it come to a point, and I was like, something's got to give. These kids are just not being connected, and I want to find a way to connect to them. So we brainstormed, got with the group leaders, and I said, God, what is a way that we can excite this youth to move for you and to be bold and to stand up and proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. And by their actions, it's actually allowed me to grow more spiritually because of watching them and seeing them be bold in a society and a community and a world that we live in today. It has encouraged me to see them trusting and obeying God. You know, the scripture says, in order to come to God, you have to come as what? As a little child. This slide right here. Get that slide up there for me. Everybody, y'all have seen those before, correct? Everybody has seen those signs. I learned those probably first grade, greater than, less than. And you know, I look at those, and I thought about tweaking, and I prayed, and I said, God, I just show me something that is simple, easy to understand, and that can get the job done. First grade, this, you know, it meant to me, hey, this number was greater than that one, this was less than that one, and that's all it meant to me. But you know, as Coach Cal began to talk to his team, you know, first they had to believe in themselves. They knew they had the potential the whole time. So to get in their minds and to make them believe and help, he called this famous word tweak, and they believed it. They believed it. And it ultimately landed them in a championship game where even myself and most of you that are sitting in here thought they'd never be there. Well, look, I said, God, how can I use this greater than, less than thing in my life, and what do you want me to do? Well, God revealed to me, what are the things that I need to be doing more of? Studying my Bible, praying, sharing Jesus, living a godly life. Those are things that I could do more of. That's a simple tweak of the Holy Spirit and the true gospel, tweaking my mind and my heart just to do more of those things. What can I do less of? What is something that's going on in my life that I can do less of? Sinning. What can I do less of? I can do less of being about me and more about Jesus. I've said this, someone shared this with me, and I'll live with it till the day I die. that I first have to decrease in order for him to increase. I first must have to admit where I'm at spiritually in this fight, in this battle, what I need to tweak in my life. And remember, it's the gospel that can tweak you. Just making these adjustments yourself will end you right back on that same path. But if you allow the Holy Spirit and the true gospel to tweak your life, amazing things will be done. Well, what's this garbage can for? It's actually heavier. After the first service, it seems a little bit heavier now. Well, what we did is we brainstorm and we come up and show them this next clip here. And we call it refuse, release, and request. We're going to refuse to sin. We're going to release the hurt, the burdens, the things of our life. And we're going to request them through a simple index card and saying, I'm going to take this and I'm going to trash it and I'm going to be done with it. And if you could witness, you that have been there through the surge on Sunday nights, we quit doing this and as me standing up and being over them. I thought they'd get enough of that. So I sat right down there with them. And we put a trash can right in the middle of the room, an index card sitting there on top, and pens all around. And I said, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with at school. But as your pastor, I want to know. You don't have to put your names on these. But I want to know who your lost people are. I want to know things that you are struggling with that you need to turn over, things that you need to do more of, things that you need to do less of. And and I promise you, these things will not get out there. I've got a stack already like that, and I read through them, and it reminds me that these people want help. They're wanting the true gospel. They're wanting to share Jesus, and they're expressing through an index card and trashing it so I can pray over them and ask God to reveal and to help them. And guess what? We've already seen some of them come to pass. So what does this index card mean to you? What do you need to do more of? What do you need to do less of? And who are your lost? Pastor Grant and I will get these. And we'll look over them and we'll read and we'll pray over them that God would start answering these prayers and that we as God's people would admit and face where we're at. It would blow your mind the things that the youth had been able to open up and express to me that I never dreamed and knew was going on in their lives. Church, they've got it hard. It's not the 80s or the 70s, but it's 2014. It's a generation that needs Jesus Christ in their lives. It's a generation that needs people to stand up and admit and be leaders and say, I'm trashing it. I'm trashing it. And while we pray, refuse, release, and request. Get in sync with God. The index cards are there. If you say, well, I don't have an index card, there's prayer cards in there too. Use one of those. If you don't have a pen there, there's pens here and here and here. And we're going to pray that God would allow the true gospel to show out in our lives. And as he speaks to you, listen and heed his call. Let's pray. Father, we are just so humbled by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm just so thankful for the true word. God, we make mistakes and we fail. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you realized all of that stuff already about me. Paul said I wasn't perfect, but he still came to my life
and I'm able to share Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would speak peace on every situation that is going on in everyone's life. Help us to be bold, to open our hearts and our minds, that we can focus on you. Because, Lord, when we focus on you, the requirements go out the door and we start seeing results. I pray all these things and these blessings in your sweet son's name. Amen. If you would stand while they sing, we ask you to respond in the way that God wants you to respond. Allow God to use you. Share the true gospel, and that is Jesus Christ.